Hello and welcome to our program today. We're looking back in Job chapter 5, verse number 7, where Job said, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." If anybody could talk on that subject, it was Job. We're going to look at the reality of trouble, we're going to look at the reason for trouble, and we're going to look at what our response to the trouble should be. Concerning the reality of trouble, the dictionary says reality is the state of things as they actually are. Wouldn't it be nice if we never had any trouble? Well, that's not the way things actually are. We read in the Word of God, we find the word trouble 110 times, 9 of which are in the book of Job and 39 of which are in the book of Psalms. Now, both Job and David were commended by God for living the life that they were living. Job, he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Concerning David, he said that he was a man after God's own heart, but both had a lot of trouble. Troubled, past tense, is also found 68 times in the Word of God. Peter said, "Think it not strange concerning a fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." It's part of the process. We read in Matthew chapter 14 concerning the disciples that they were troubled. Concerning David, we read, he said, "I am so troubled that I cannot speak." In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." Concerning Jesus, we read in John chapter 11 and verse number 33, that he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Now let's look at these situations. Concerning the disciples, we read in Matthew 14, they were troubled. Now the problem was they were in the middle of a storm, a very vicious storm that could destroy them. They could be dead very soon. And this storm was affecting their mind, their will, and their emotions. We find that the storm was raging, and this would have an effect on what the Bible calls the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Also, part of the situation was that they saw Jesus coming walking on the water, and they were troubled. They thought he was a spirit, so they had two circumstances here. One was the storm, and the other one was what they thought was going on. It wasn't really the case as they were thinking it. Concerning Paul the Apostle and the reality of trouble, he said, as we mentioned, he said, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Now, the trouble that he's talking about wasn't an inward trouble, it was an outward trouble. It was the persecutions that were coming from without, and they were coming from every side. But he went on to say, within were fears. Now, God was not the author of their fears. The circumstances were the author of their fear. But we read in 2 Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, Paul is not saying that we're not ever going to have any fears. He said, us here. I'm glad he included himself in this situation where he said, we had some fears, but God has not given us this. We have to stop and think about where the fears are coming from and how we are allowing them to happen. And he said, if we would take the power at our disposal, we could have a sound mind, and that's what he is trying to teach us here. Concerning Jesus and the fact that he was troubled, we read in John 11:33, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. It was in his spirit that he was troubled, not in his mind, his will, and his emotions. Major difference here. Now, John 11 and 32 to 35 gives us a story where, of course, Lazarus had died. And in verse 32, it says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He was not troubled in his mind, his will, and his emotions concerning problems that he was facing. It was a compassion in his spirit because they were weeping. And we read here in verse 34 that he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Now, the reason for trouble. Paul the Apostle, when he asked God to take this thorn in the flesh that he had away from him, God said unto him, he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly, Paul said, "Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He understood that these circumstances were sent in his life that would draw him closer and keep him focusing on the Lord. And so Peter said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Peter talked about Christian growth, and if you look along the top of this chart, it says, "To your faith add virtue, then knowledge, then temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then self-control." On the bottom, you'll see the faith has to do with our salvation, virtue has to do with our standards, knowledge has to do with our studying, self-control has, temperance has to do with our self-control, and patience has to do with our suffering, and then godliness, our sanctification, brotherly kindness, service, and then charity has to do with sacrifice. Now you'll notice here in number 5, it talks about suffering, and it talks about patience. And that's why Peter talked about the fiery trial, which is to try us. Now God is not trying us to see where we stand. He's God. He knows where we stand. What the purpose of this is so we can take stock and see where we stand ourselves. Now in Mark chapter 4 and verse 17, it talks about those that had no root. And so when these kind of fiery trials came along, they quit. This is the place where you can decide whether you're going to quit or whether you're going to go on to godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Interesting chart here. If you'd like a copy of it, email me at bobkirkland7@gmail.com, and I'll email you a copy of this chart back. Maybe sometime we can have a more in-depth look at this chart. We're talking about response concerning the trouble. David's trouble in Psalm 77. Again, he said, "In the day of my trouble, my soul refused to be comforted. My mind, my will, and my emotions would not be comforted." He said, "I was so troubled, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed." This is serious. He said, "I am so troubled that I cannot speak." How did he respond? He said, "I cried unto God, and he gave ear unto me." He said, "I sought the Lord." He said, "I remembered God." He said, "My spirit made diligent search." He said, "I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." He said in verse 11, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." And then he said, "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." I'd like to spend a couple of weeks just on those verses. We're just throwing them out to you today. You can do your homework on those and see how you can have the victory over it all. Notice in verse 10, he said, "I remembered when things were going well." And that's a good idea. Think back to when you didn't have any trouble and you just had nothing but those blessings upon your life. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And then in verse 12, he said, "I will meditate in thy work and talk of thy doings." There's a thing there. Get out of your pity party and get out there and talk about what good things the Lord has done. And so our response concerning trouble, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We also read in 1 Corinthians, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Twice it says that in this verse. One of these days we won't have that old nature that causes us to fear when we shouldn't be fearing. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job went on to say in the next verse, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Be sure to tune in for our next program. We're going to be talking about focusing above the circumstances.